check your ego at the door. There could be a lot of different personalities that clash. And so you have to be able to understand that you are not always right. Very excited to be here. So it's not very often that I become a guest on a podcast. So when I do, I always make sure I take the opportunity.
Have your leadership style changed over the time?
Absolutely, it has. So, you know, it went from not being in a team and not being the leader to actually, you know, being the lead guy.
You can see yourself as a leader, right? With or without a title. But how do you know if you're a good leader?
That's a really great question. You know, I don't know. I think it could be in how you inspire people. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
You're listening to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Sanna Vinding. I'm a strategic leader with over 20 years of experience in B2B marketing, product development, and building high-impact leadership skills across teams. I'm passionate about sharing insights and tools to help professionals enhance their leadership skills. In each episode, we discuss relevant topics for leaders like you, offering practical strategies and valuable insights. And it's all to help you refine your leadership styles and drive success in your role. I interview professionals within the manufacturing industry, the distribution sector, and they all share their knowledge around leadership. So make sure to follow us, like and subscribe, check out the YouTube channel and also the website, and you can just search for Leadership in Manufacturing. Today's episode. Today, we're diving into the world of building automation with Charles Johnson. He's the lead trainer, technical engineer at Linkspring, and he's also host of It's a Controls Problem podcast. Charles went from engineer to trainer, and along the way, he discovered powerful leadership lessons about communication, collaboration, and what it really takes to build a learning culture. He will share the mistakes that completely change his leadership styles and also the habits that keep him sharp in an industry that never stops evolving. So, get ready. This episode is packed with insights and you don't want to miss it. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast. Today, I'm excited because I have a new guest for the show. So welcome to the show, Charles. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. So it's not very often that I become a guest on a podcast. So when I do, I always make sure I take the opportunity.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more, because normally you're on the other side, right? You're actually in my feet, right? So my
yes. chair
and saying you have the podcast. So just to get a little instruction about the podcast, you're the host of. Can you tell a little bit?
Sure. So I am the host of a podcast called It's a Controls Problem. So we specialize in the building automation industry specifically. And so I work for a company called Linkspring. We were actually the very first OEM distributor for the what we call the Niagara Framework. For those of you who are not familiar with that, that is another software that it was designed for building automation, but now it gets into significantly more than just turning HVAC on and off. It's about, you know, collecting that data from wherever it may come, especially the IoT and cloud applications. I work directly in making that happen. And so the podcast came about of like, you know what, it's always a controls problem. And so we just sit there and everyone blames controls. Doesn't matter what it is. It could have been a design flaw from the mechanical engineer. Yeah. And it's still our problem. We still have to make it work. And so, it just came about that. So, you know, we talk a wide array of topics from AI to other leading trends in the industry. And even some personal ones like how to deal with burnout and, you know, and mental health. That's also really important too. Nice. In this case. So yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
Love it. I love it. So, okay. But then you will be a pro, even though you're sitting on the other side this time, but it's a good feeling. Sometimes you don't have to drive everything. So enjoy the conversation. Okay. So I want to talk about leadership. I want to talk about you. I want to hear, you know, if you look back just for the last couple of years, have your leadership style changed over the time?
Absolutely, it has. It went from being in a team and not being the leader to actually, you know, being the lead guy at LinkSpring. So I am the lead trainer. Even though I am a department of one, yeah. I still offer a lot of mentorship across a lot of departments. So, you know, even though I manage myself, I still manage other projects in other ways. And so never having done that part before, yeah. It's allowed me to grow more patience. Beforehand, I didn't tolerate a whole lot, and I was very quick to become impatient with things. But understanding now, working for a building automation vendor, everything isn't so cut and dry, and there are a lot of gray areas that happen. So yeah. Therefore, I had to learn how to kind of like scale that back a little bit, and understand that there's a specific ebb and flow, and you need to be able to roll with the punches, and you need to be able to, like, when you need to attack, you need to attack, and then when you need to sit back and watch, you need to sit back and watch. So
I think that's a good view on it, right? And I like to like what you're saying. You're also like managing, you know, yourself, right? Because you have to be organized, I'm sure. And yep. You have to be, how do you communicate? Because there's like different teams, right? So that's like one lesson. If somebody's listening, like sitting like some similar role like you, what kind of lessons of leadership would you give that person?
Check your ego at the door. 100%. When you come into a dynamic that isn't just always about you, and it's about the collective of bringing a product to the forefront of technology, you have to make sure that you stay humble. And you know, at times, you know, there could be a lot of different personalities that clash, and so you have to be able to understand that you are not always right. And that just because you have a different perspective than someone else doesn't mean that that perspective is wrong. We could be coming about it in two different things and then come up with a resolution that actually that satisfies every party, yeah. Not just one person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so right. It's so right. But it's also okay to voice, right? And saying, hey, this is my opinion or this is how I view at it. And then saying, and, right? How, you know, how can we take it to the next step? But listening to everyone. So it's the listening and the communication is they're like big pieces in this big puzzle.
Absolutely. The you know, one of the things that I had to learn is when I know that I'm going into battle and I'm like, okay, is this a hill I want to die on? And so I'm like, you know what? No, it isn't. I'm going to let that one go. But then there are some like, you know what? No, I feel really strongly about that. And so then I will pick and choose my battles and things yeah. that I feel that are extremely important. And the other things I can work around. And so for me, it's like, that's how I get to that happy medium. Like, you know what? I can work around that. I think I can spin yeah. that in a way that can make sense to our customer base. But then there are other things I'm like, nope, that doesn't make any sense to me. You cannot, I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't sell me on it. Like I can't. So I will go to battle for those. But otherwise, it's just less stress at that
point. Yeah. Yeah, right. Life is also too short, right? You have to enjoy things. And if you're like angry every day at work, that's not
you're not wrong.
okay, but that takes me to the next one I want to know, because again, it's there's so many different teams, right? And you need to master or foster like a collaboration between them. So what do you have any example you can share of that worked really well? Maybe it's not happening this week. It could have been, you know, from previous year or something.
Sure. So one of our products that we have been developing for years and it's been released and, you know, but it wasn't perfect. So having to work with both the technical support team, being able to support their role, and them not really understanding kind of how the product was, because overall it was fairly complicated. And so then I had to take on that role to coordinate with them to make sure that they could fully understand it. But at the same time, when something didn't make sense to me, I had to then go to the development team and be like, hey, I need you to explain this, because if I don't understand it, I can't expect them to understand it either.
No.
And so kind of coordinating that, the meeting of the minds, if you will, to get everyone to have just a fundamental understanding of how things went, because it's really important for technical support to not always get development involved. And so if they have to get them involved the entire time, that's a waste of resources.
Yeah.
And so for there, it's a matter of, finding like, okay, cool. Here's XYZ. Here's some documentation that we can create. And so now they have this, I wouldn't say a script per se, but a flow chart that takes them into, multiple scenarios, and they can actually navigate that product better.
Nice. So, and it's all back to that communication piece, right? Making sure that you understand it and you can communicate it and then get everybody on board on it. So
communication is pivotal. And regardless of where it is, right? It doesn't matter whether it's work, it's in personal relationships, it's how, marriages, and other relationships keep that solid foundation. It has to be built on good communication. And when people can't communicate effectively, it creates issues all around.
Yeah. It does. But what about habits? Because I think also to be a good leader, you need to have certain habits every day or to have some structure. Is there anything that helps you stay current?
Yes. So one of the big things that I have been doing is, I make sure I talk to my students that I train, a couple times a month. But in addition, take coding on the side and I kind of break the limits of the Niagara framework. I've put out, I think, over, 200 some odd videos on LinkedIn just about that side, because it's important for me from a trainer to not only understand the basic principles, but even some of the most complex principles. There are a lot of trainers out there now currently that don't necessarily have the skill set that I do, and that's not a bad thing. It's not their responsibility to understand that really complex role. But for me, understanding that helps break things down at even a more molecular level than I even thought was even possible at some point. So just understanding the limitations of the framework and even going a little beyond that has really been inspiring enough for me to really keep things fresh and gain new perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good. Like testing it, right? Do you break it?
Yes, I do. all the time. One thing about coding, I will say specifically, is that for me, when I'm tinkering with things, and this sounds bad, but if I can't figure it out before the end of the night, I actually start from scratch the next day.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I actually won't be able to sleep, and I'll have to stay up until it gets done. And so I'm like, you know what? We're going to start from scratch tomorrow.
That's a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm. There is always tomorrow. And, the other thing that I have is, so I do that every day. I will do some of that on that side. Not that we do all coding, like the Niagara framework, at least from a controls perspective side, is really all block programming. But you can do Java in there or even JavaScript if you want to create some UI stuff. So fun fact, I'm 100% colorblind. So all I see is gray.
Yeah.
And so for me, I've had to try to create very visualizing, like graphics that are really eye-catching with having a severe limitation.
Yeah.
And so, that's always a fun challenge too. On my cell phone, I actually have a color app.
Yeah.
And so I actually will go and put it on the, like on the piece of equipment that I have to find that color. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I even use a little bit of AI, at least for that perspective. Like, hey, can you help me create a good color pattern here, because that's not something.
Yeah, no, but then you have the tools, right, to help you to create that. And that is just amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm just pausing the episode for a few seconds because I want to make sure you know that we have a newsletter. Go to leadershipmanufacturing.com, sign up for the newsletter. This is where we'll send one out when we have a new episode and also when there's any good leadership tips we want to share. Do it right now. Thank you. Back to the episode. Yeah, nice. So you touch on that you're teaching a couple of times every month, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, correct.
Can you share something about, because I'm sure you're building like a learning culture for these technicians or engineers. So how do you start on that, and how do you keep it going? Because I think when you look at companies, right, you have company culture. Everybody talks about, is it a family? Is it not a family, right? Mm-hmm. You can go deep on that one. No, but that's also a learning culture when you're teaching.
So I think that one thing that's really important to understand is that with the younger, so I'm 42. So I'm for as long as I've been in the industry, I'm a dinosaur in the industry, but I'm not that old. I have a very unique upbringing in this industry that has allowed me to experience more at such a young age than other students. Now what we're seeing coming in is that while, you know, years ago we had people who had strong mechanical backgrounds, but not very good computer skills. Well, it's now done a 180. So now we have people that have really strong computer skills, but no real mechanical background. Yeah. So now I have to try to find common ground between both the mechanical people who are still coming in, who kind of struggle along. And then I need to give the people who are computer savvy a little more of a challenge at the same time to push their side, because while the how itself on building something isn't really relevant, it's actually the why that's significantly more important than the how.
Yeah.
You know, as a, like, especially from a, let's say from a mechanical design, we'll talk quickly about like an air handler system, and you have, you know, VAV boxes that serve, that may be series fan power boxes or parallel fan power boxes. Well, understanding why a motor on an air handler when serving series fan power boxes is smaller than parallel fan power boxes is actually important for us to know in the background. But for young people coming up, they're not going to know much of that difference right now. So really kind of getting that and creating newer materials to handle that particular portion has been a real challenge for me. But it's been very rewarding to do so.
Yeah. But what I think teaching, it's always like a two-way street, right? Not, I'm sure you're teaching more, but there's also where you're getting the feedback, or you're getting good questions, or you're getting that dynamic. Anything you can share where you were like, yeah, this was like one of these moments where you just like, this is what I love it. Or this is why I love it.
Absolutely. So the more that I am away from the field, I'm more out of touch with what's going on. So getting the students to teach me about more what's going on in the field now, like, oh yeah, no, we don't do that anymore. We do it this way. I'm like, oh, well, that's great. And so one of my classes more recently, on Thursdays is my short day. And so typically it's only about 4 hours long. And then I do an Ask Me Anything. Mm-hmm. And they literally get to ask me anything about Niagara, about programming, about development, about HVAC. And they're like, hey, can we do XYZ here? And I'm like, you know what? We might be able to. And so then literally just by fielding ideas of going back and forth with things, you're able to actually create, we actually created an object that can go out into the BACnet network, discover automatically all the devices under the BACnet network, and actually discover the points underneath the BACnet devices, rather than making it a manual process. But it was because of them asking certain questions. I'm like, wow, that's a really good way to think about it. I wasn't really thinking about it that way. And so it really is one of those where they just, they ask so many good questions now.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like, because it keeps my creative juices flowing, but it also keeps them engaged and wanting to know more, that they have someone in front of them that has a lot of this different knowledge, and they can, you know, kind of gain as much as they want to.
Yeah. I like that. It's like a sandbox, right, as well, right? That you
absolutely
have a place to test and play around. And then actually a little bit of hands-on as well, right? Even though it's not that you're touching, but but you can actually take it into action.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's true. Like, I'm not touching the physical equipment, but, you know, I do in my lectures, after I give my lecture, I do a demo.
Yeah.
And so I go through, you know, so I'll go through the whole lab that they're looking for. And, I always give it a different spin than the actual step-by-step process, because I want to show them how that I actually think about it. So even though they're going through the step-by-step process, like, oh, okay, I can see why he did it this step this way here, and then he went here, because, you know, you're already there. You might as well hit that before going back. So
I can love it. So how do you learn? Because I think YouTube is all over, right? There's a lot on LinkedIn as well. Maybe it's in different depth or what you're learning there, but they have LinkedIn Learning. There is all kinds of newsletters. There's all kind of companies sharing what's happening. There's expert writing, all kind of blog posts or articles and white papers and all that kind of stuff. So how do you learn?
Well, I hate reading, especially because, used to reading for so long, it's just tiresome on my eyes now. And so I do have a lot of audiobooks. I do have a lot of hands-on stuff. So YouTube is a really great way for me to kind of keep up with my side. So like when I need to do something, I'll just go ahead and type in the YouTube subject, see if I see some videos.
Yeah.
And usually at that point, it's just there to give me enough inspiration to be like, okay, fantastic. Now let me go and try that in principle. And so then once I then start doing it, it allows me with my own learning through figuring it out.
Yeah.
In the controls industry specifically, it has always been a trial by fire process. So, you know, there are some schools like Smart Buildings Academy, they have their own stuff now, but back in my day, so way back in the day, they didn't have that. You were just like, it's like when you learned how to swim, you were just thrown in the water and you either swam or you didn't. And that was, that kind of thing.
You survived the swim lesson. No.
Yes. So being able to, kind of figure that stuff out has just been, that's really the way I learn, is making through trial by fire and making mistakes. Yeah. We're working with Schneider, with Schneider Electric on some things. And so, they sent me some product to test. And so yesterday I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try to get it. Huh. I can't get this to work. Okay. Well, let me look at the documentation.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's not helpful. And then I'm like, well, let me go to Reddit. And then I ask a question and I'm like, well, that's even more unhelpful than what I had before. So then after a while, like I just had some light bulb things come on and
yeah.
And that's it. So I do try to listen a lot. And I will try to get things summarized for me. Like the co-pilot actually has been very good for that. Like, hey, can you read this and summarize it for me so I can, and I'll just put it in the background, just have my headphones in, have it and just have it just say whatever it needs to do, and then and then after that I move on. So but LinkedIn I keep in my web browser all the time because it is nice to see that. But I get a lot of, I even get a lot of conversation from LinkedIn. So I have a wide array of people who message me. Yeah. And so at that point, we then start chatting. And so then I learn a little more about them and then they learn a little more about me or some other process. And so, yeah. So YouTube and LinkedIn are really my main methods.
Learning. And isn't it amazing, right? I think if you just look for what happened for the last 5 or 10 years, how all these platforms or how we communicate has just opened up so much more, right? So easy as well to connect. Just look at us, right? Different coast here, but we're still here together.
Yes.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you bring up a really good point. Like, think about even 10 years ago, YouTube was more for entertainment rather than educational. Like there was some stuff there, but a lot of it was just, just kind of mindless, mindless dribble. But, but some of those, it's a way to kind of, break away from the monotony of the world.
Yeah.
But now there are a lot of DIY projects, a lot of things that you can see. So it's, understanding that, when COVID happened, like really think when you think about COVID really kind of jump-started the whole virtual learning because we couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so now it became even more important to get information across to people without being in the same room. So virtual training became a necessity because of COVID at that
point. Yeah.
And so it's been quite nice to even understand even how people keep virtual environments fresh and exciting for people.
Yeah. No, it is, right? And I also think you have to embrace and get the new habits. And then don't stay on that plateau, right? You need to evolve. And that what you're just saying with the AI as well, embrace it and find a way that it can help being more, I don't know if it's an intern, you can call it, right? Or make that summary to make more efficient, but make that as a partner, just like a calculator. That's how I see it. And learn how to navigate it, but still have that critical mindset to be sure, right? That don't trust everything. You have to be sure that what you're getting of that information is still correct.
That is the most accurate statement that I can absolutely about AI. One of my biggest concerns about AI is that people will use it as a crutch rather than a tool, right? Yeah. So it's like think of a carpenter. And a carpenter is taught to use a handsaw and hand tools to build everything first. But okay, you've learned that now, but now you have these power tools that help you build things faster.
Yeah.
And so it's not that they don't know how to do it now, but they still do. They still know how to. But now we have things to help accelerate our production. And I think that's the big thing. If we can teach people how to accelerate in that specific production process.
Yeah.
Because there are people that I interact with, they're like, hey, I use AI to do this whole thing, but it can't get this portion. And I'm like, yep, that's right. It can't. Yeah. And so then like I'll go in and like, all right, okay, try this. Hey, that worked. What did AI miss? And I'm like, well, I don't know if AI missed it. It's just the fact that you didn't know what to tell AI to do. Yeah. Right. So like it's some of those where you have to treat AI like a junior engineer.
Yeah,
literally. And it's like, okay, you give them all the instructions. Then afterwards you give it feedback and it can learn and adapt at that point. And then you continue to move forward.
Yeah. And then parallel, right? AI is also improving. So you have to follow and learn how to communicate with AI. So you are sure that you are on the right track, right? So there's so much to learn.
Absolutely. The other thing with it is, you know, I have a friend that loves using it and he's really developed a good, strong system with it. You know, one of my concerns is that because it's out on the cloud, you know, and some of the information is not necessarily private, you know, leaking out maybe private API that may be, you know, internal, which is great for you, but do you really want, you know, the outside world to actually have it, you know, that's kind of a different thing. Like, you know, you have to be careful where you put it. Like I have a local machine. It's actually sitting right next to me.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a one that's local that doesn't go out, you know, it doesn't put its information out on the cloud. So like I can keep everything internal that I need for now.
Yeah.
And then eventually release it out.
Yeah. Oh, that's clever. That's clever. I want to go back a little bit to talk about more about the leadership and the leadership role, because I think you can see yourself as a leader, right? With or without a title. But how do you know if you're a good leader?
That's a really great question. You know, I don't know. I think it could be in how you inspire people to become better. And I think that if you are one of those people that can help, you know, you may not be, you know, to help keep the boat afloat, right? I think elevating everyone around you, I think, is the key to being an effective leader, and not just being the person that, that's all knowing. But if you give them the tools to help them succeed along the way, and they take that and run with it, I think that also is good to, yeah, I think that's also great to be an effective leader. Also, knowing your strengths and weaknesses, I think, are really pivotal too to becoming a good leader, because you know what you're good at, and you know what you aren't good at.
Yeah.
And therefore you can help delegate to people the things that you aren't good at, but they may be great at.
Yeah.
And so at that point, now you have this symbiotic relationship where, you know, yes, you're still, you know, you're still the one in charge, but you have this team that is working like a very well-oiled machine.
Yeah, like it. So that takes me to the next one here, because I have, what kind of leadership mistake have you made that changed how you actually are leading today?
I had to become an active listener.
Yeah.
I was not an active listener for a long time. And I didn't really recognize it for a while. It actually took meeting someone who was like me to understand you aren't listening to what I'm saying. Rather, you already have the thought process in your head and you're just waiting for me to finish. And then you're doing this. And then I'm like, you didn't listen to anything I just said. Like, you may have heard me, but you didn't listen. And so it was one of those where I'm like, you know what? I was doing the same thing that person was doing. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. And so, you know, understanding what someone is saying to you and then repeat, you know, paraphrasing it back to make sure that you understand what they're saying is really important as well. And making people feel heard is also really important too, especially nowadays. Everyone wants their own platform. They want to know that they matter in some way, shape, or form, and showing people that you can be that active listener that they need, I think goes a long way.
I like that. I really like that. It's funny because I have to take myself sometimes as well, just saying, just listen. You don't have to say something now just because the idea is there and you want to get it out. But sometimes it's good with the dynamic. It's not on everything, but it is so good to actually take that pause, right? It's okay not to say anything for a few seconds. And then have your feedback or your comment or your direction or whatever it is.
Yep. Being able to process that is important. You know, especially when I talk to other people who have different ideas than I do, I need to make sure that their ideas are heard and that they are valid, whether or not I agree with them. And, you know, regardless of that, it's like, well, I don't agree with it, but it still works. It still does, you know, ultimately, it's just not the way I would do it.
Yeah.
But as long, you know, to me, as long as the end result still gives you the same way, then it doesn't matter how you got there.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you got there is the important part.
That's the important, yeah. So, but how do you then recognize or reward like behaviors that drive to this outcome? Because again, right, I'm sure you've sit there at some meetings where you're like, oh my God, this is not going to end well. And other places you're like, yeah, right, this is it. But you need to recognize or say something good in that moment. That's what I see or mean. But how do you see it?
I do love to give positive affirmation. And when, you know, when something has gone really well, you know, I'll say, hey, you know what, that was a really great approach, you know, that you took, or, hey, you know, we may not have had a very good, you know, rapport, beforehand, but this conversation that happened today, I think was a really turning point into, you know, making more a positive role. Actually, it just happened where the lead developer and I, we butted heads quite a bit. But we now have come to such a better understanding of one another that now our dynamic went from just battling out with one another to literally just volleying ideas off of one another. And really, I mean, the communication that he and I had has done a complete 180. And so, like, I just, you know, I said, I'm like, hey, I really appreciated feeling like I've been listened to, and whether or not you take my idea, it doesn't really matter anymore. The fact is, you're hearing what I'm saying now, and you're processing it, and you're weighing it against, you know, the current, you know, flow of production, and you at least are now listening more than what I thought you were before. So, anytime something like that happens, I always try to give a kudos, and even with students, like, when, you know, when they are struggling at first, I think it's really important to give things that are super encouraging. I'm like, hey, I know this is a tough concept right now, but you guys are really pushing through. And I just want to say that your efforts today have been absolutely great. So, like, I always make sure that they understand, like, hey, you are doing a good job. Even if it's struggling, you're still doing a good one.
Regardless. Oh, I love that. It's so important, right? Because I think if somebody's saying something nice to me, you just, you get happy, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah. And then you're like, I can come back tomorrow. I'll fix it again. Or I'll tackle a new problem. Or I will, you know, it just gives you so much more. I always call it like a vitamin pill. It just gives me a boost when somebody says something nice.
That's a very good way to look at it, right? Like it's always about attracting more flies with honey than vinegar, right?
Yeah.
So I think it is, you know, understanding that, you know, a person may be struggling because they're just having a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something has gone on personally that's affecting their professional, because that does happen where your personal mixes with professional and it can affect your performance from time to time. And so, you know, when you see that happening, it's like, okay, well, take a step back, try to figure out, you know, why some things are happening. And maybe you do need to give them a gentle nudge. You know, you don't always have to be abrasive. And matter of fact, you know, you have to treat things with kid gloves from time to time. And so, you know, understanding that if you made their day just a little bit better there, because you know what, after a while, before years ago, I didn't care what anyone thought. It's like, you know what? No, I don't care. I'm just going to say it. And if you're mad about it, you're mad about it. But, you know, the more that I've grown from it, I understand, you're like, you know what? Maybe if I'm struggling with something, I would like to hear something positive to get me, you know, to lift me up for the next time.
I'm teaching myself as well. If I'm talking to customer service, right, it's something personal, right, where I need some help, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, it's not their fault. It's not their fault that I'm at this situation, right? So I'm like, I'm always thanking them for helping me, and if it goes really well, I'm like, you made my day. You're my hero, because I can hear in their voice at that end, they're like, oh, thank you, right? Because they have all the other people yelling at them, so. And I have to agree, I have to maybe admit here, right, that a few years ago, I was the angry person where I'm like, now I'm like, just be the better person and then let's find a solution together. And sometimes it takes a lot of calls to customer service, but yeah, it's just
dealing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, just personal note here. Yeah.
Dealing with, you know, with parts of technical support, I don't really, I kind of more support technical support, but I do hop in from time to time. And there was a really tough ticket, and the customer called, and I was like, you know what? I normally don't take calls. I normally am like, I'm like House, like Dr. House, like where House doesn't really talk to patients.
Yeah.
I don't really talk to the tickets, right? Like they know I'm working. They know I'm working in the background, but they don't really interact with me. But this person, I was like, all right, you know what? Let me call him. And he was angry, and rightfully so. So I let him express that anger.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Yeah, absolutely. I will sympathize with you. And then after he got that out, we then were able to move forward with an acceptable resolution, and then they felt better afterwards. But sometimes shooting, we at times shoot the messenger, and you know, obviously they're the ones that didn't do it. They're like, hey, I'm just here to help. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you know, they're already dealing with a hostile environment, or they may not even know what territory they're walking into immediately. They're just there to help the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so kudos to everybody in customer service or technical support.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Yep. Okay. Last question. And I think I know what you're going to answer, but I still want to ask you, right? So if you like look back like 10 years ago, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
Give more grace to people than you think that they should have gotten originally. There was a time, it happened 13 years ago, actually even longer than that, but it really 13 years ago where it really hit. My industry, even though being vast, can be a very small world. And there was a interaction I had with someone that I was not really in a good place mentally. And so I did not treat people very well, but I was intending to just make this guy look, I just wanted to make him look like a fool in front of this customer. And I did. Come to find out, he then ended up buying the company I worked for at the time. And when I found that out, I was like, I'm gone. I already know this is going to happen. Karma has come back around. And surely enough, about a month after he took over the company, we had a meeting and I was let go. I'm like, yeah, I knew that was coming. And so really, you know, just being gentler more than I should, you know, more than I thought, like even I've thought like, yeah, I don't think he deserved that. No, he really didn't deserve that. I wish I would have given myself, or I wish I would have told myself, if I could tell myself, give people more grace than you should, than you did before. But yeah. I learned, you know, I know that now, but back then I didn't.
Yeah. We learn every day. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Right. So, yeah. Thank you so much, Charles, for sharing everything. I learned so much about you, but also about learning and teaching and leadership. So thank you so much for sharing to everybody who's listening in today.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. The pleasure is entirely mine. I've really, really enjoyed being here.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. I appreciate so much that you're here. And we are doing so awesome on YouTube. We have over 150,000 views. So be sure to follow us on YouTube, on the YouTube channel called Leadership Manufacturing. And of course, you should sign up for the newsletters as well, right? Because you want to stay in the loop when we have a new episode that comes out or when we actually are sharing some leadership tips. So again, go to leadershipmanufacturing.com, sign up today. And thank you so much for staying and listening to everything, the full episode. And remember, stay curious, keep learning. See you next time.